Gimel Tammuz, Tuesday the 27th of June, Rabbi David Eisenberg. What could possibly go wrong?
Good morning, Rabbi Isai.
Morning.
It's always a pleasure to be here. I was meant to be here, and I was meant to have given this shiur in September, and my shver became ill, and afterwards Nebuchadnezzar was nifter, so that shiur didn't end up materializing in September. But Baruch Hashem, we came instead for Simcha, and after the wedding last night, now Baruch Hashem, I'm able to give the shiur today. And whilst I was at the wedding last night, or yesterday, Rabbi Ginsbury was a Masadik Yudushin. So it was a boy from my Kehla and a girl from Rabbi Ginsbury's Kehla. Ginsbury used to be the Rav, two Rabbonim before me in my present shul.
Finn,
and, pardon?
Finn.
Lawrence Finn. Lawrence Finn's son to Ian Liu's daughter. Very, very beautiful chasana. And I saw him over there doing the Siddur Kiddushin, and he's walking around with these two big red books. Now, anybody who's in the world of the Rabbinate knows those two red books that he's going to run around with at a chasna are the Nisuim Kilchosa. Because that's the call boy, you have a little, or not so little, compendium on anything that could happen, could go and could not go wrong at a chasna, all the halachas all put together in one place. And when you're being Masadik Yidushin, in general, you know, you want to just have some kind of a backup. And I said to him, I said, you know, you've been doing this for well over 30 years now. It seems, it's almost streamlined. People have been doing it for so long, you know exactly this is going to happen now, this is going to be here, this is going to be there. He says, look, you never know. In general, you don't plan for things to go wrong. Well, you never plan for things to go wrong. But Lamaisa, there's often things that do go wrong, and so therefore, since Lamaisa, there's often things that do go wrong, you want to go ahead and you want to be just safe and not sorry. So that's Chelek Aleph. So when you say what could possibly go wrong, you see that even people that are very adept and very practiced at certain things will still make sure that they cover all bases. That's Chelek Aleph. Chelek Beis, as an introduction as well, don't know how many of you were here or not here for this year. I had a friend of mine that told me he once went to Bris. The fellow had a boy, and then he had another boy just 12, 14 months later. So 14 months later, the fellow got up, they were in a very, very prestigious case. He says, we spoke last time about so-and-so, I just want to be myself another Nakuda, the second bris. Just thinking about the first bris. So I spoke about, but this is years ago already, we spoke here about a case of a chosna and kala, and the two rings where the chosna had given the kala under the chuppah. This happened to me. We were standing under the chuppah, and the chosna had given the kala the bigger ring. The best man pulled out two rings. I don't know that the best man, bichlal, if there's a mocking for a best man in halacha, but okay, so it's not the end of the world. So you have a best man. But he had in his pocket two rings, and he gave the bigger ring to the chosen to do the kiddushin. And anybody who's ever seen or been an eight for kiddushin knows, when you put on the ring for kiddushin, it'll probably get stuck, and I tell this to all my chasanim, it'll get stuck by the second knuckle. Because it's smaller. This finger, the fourth finger, the ring finger, is smaller than your index finger. And therefore, I always tell chasanim, don't push hard, because either it'll get stuck or you'll hurt your kala under the chuppah. That's not a good way to start your marriage. You push till it stops. Where it stops, it's mikudeshes. Don't worry about it. So he took the ring, he went and straight over. Right? So at the time she looks at me, she says, this is not my ring. Don't worry about it. Anyway, there's a whole shayla afterwards. Kiddushin, yes, kiddushin, not kiddushin. Who owned the rings? How were the rings given to them? They were given as a present. It was a balagan. We did another kiddushin misafik, and we ended up. That's all right. It was a, you know, there were enough stodim lahokel to say that it was a good kiddushin. But we did another kiddushin misafik. Just myself and the chazan called them in one evening into the office, and then we just said, you know, just to make sure that there's nothing that has gone wrong, just to the Yotza Aladeus. We did it again. He gave back the ring. Machmir the ring. Gave the ring back. Vaitig again. Have kiddushin. Some families have a mazel. And this family seemed to have had a mazel also. So it wasn't enough that we had a problem with their kiddushin. They called me up and they said, we've had a boy. Oh, mazel tov, very nice. When you're making the bris, we went to the bris. When you're making the pinyan aben. I said, what's a pinyan aben? I said, pinyan aben is, you know, if you have a bechor and the father and the mother are both not Yisraelim, there's not been a miscarriage in the interim and there's been a regular birth, then you can have a pinyan aben and there's a mitzvah to be part of the ben. Okay, how do we do it? You get a kohen and you do it. You schedule it on the day after the 30th day and you call everybody all together and we're going to make a pinyan aben. So I thought about it. I wasn't sure they were going to go with it or not. But Baruch Hashem, they turned around and says, okay, making a pinyan aben. Rabbi, what day is it on? And I said to them, it's on Wednesday, such and such a date. That's when we're going to make the pinyan aben. No problem. We'll call everybody. We'll make the pinyan aben. Anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm looking through the halachas again, just to familiarize myself with the halachas, and I realized, oy vey, wrong day. Now, if it's a wrong day in one direction, if it's day 32, it's okay, there's a din mazriza makdimi, you should do it on day 31, you did it on day 32, doesn't matter. But what happens if you do it on day 30? So now it's a day early instead of a day late. And here was the question. Suddenly I'm stuck then. I say to myself, what am I going to do with this? So I call up the fellow and I say to myself, you know what, it's only been a few days. It's probably not such a big deal. I said, Howard, have you scheduled everything already for the pinyan aben? He goes, yeah, Rabbi, we're all excited. I've invited 100 people to my house. We've ordered the bagels. We've ordered everything already. I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I've scheduled it 100% correctly. He says, Rabbi, you can't change this on me now. There's 100 people coming. I'm not going to be able to call all these people. There's only a day or two left of the pinyan aben. I'm not going to be able to tell everybody to come a different day. We can't do this. So here we're stuck. I've scheduled it on the wrong day. It's day 30, not day 31. Can we be poyder? Can we not be poyder? And if you can be poyder, could you be poyder with a bracha? Could you not be poyder with a bracha? So here starts the shir in earnest. So let's see, the halacha says, or the Mishnah really says, in Bechairis, Memtesom and Aleph, Pergesh Bechar, if the son dies within the 30 days of him having been born, even though he's given the kohen the pinyan aben already early, the kohen needs to give it back because the child's not reached the age of pinyan aben and therefore he doesn't deserve the money. If he gave it to him after 30 days, even though he's not given it yet, he has to give. That's already a machlokes. And the Gemara says, what's the reason for this whole reason? What's the reason for 30 days plus? It says, we learn at Chodesh, Chodesh min Midbar. This says, Chodesh by Pidyon HaBen, Uftuyev min Chodesh Tivdei. And it says, when we counted in the Midbar, Pekoid, Kol V'choz, Acham ben Chodesh V'mola. Just like over there it says, Mi ben Chodesh V'mola. When we counted the Jewish people in the desert, it had to be 30 days plus, Mi ben Chodesh V'mola. So too, when we do pinyan aben, it has to be 30 days plus. So it seems over here, very straightforward, it's day 31. No wiggle room. However, I called up one of the rabbonim, and he said to me, well, there might be some wiggle room, and that will all depend on a machlokes between the Shach and the Bach on the one side, and the Mogen Avram on the other side. And that's as follows. How do we count this month? How do we count the 31 days? So the simple shita, the simple way of doing it, which is the Mogen Avram is in Simen Shin Lamites Sifkot Mches. So in Shin Lamites Sifkot Sif Dalet in Shulchan Aruch, it's going about different halachas of things you can't do. He speaks about kiddushin and some other things you can't do. And one of the things he said over there is you cannot do pinyan aben on Shabbos. And whilst he's discussing this din of pinyan aben on Shabbos, he's discussing exactly how we go about figuring out. So he mentions, as we mentioned, the Shach and the Bach in Yerideh, Simen Shin Hei. The Shach is in Shin Hei Sifkot and Yutes, if you want to look it up. And the Bach is over there in Shin Hei as well. And there, the Mogen Avram says, the simple way to count to day 31 is like we count for Vestas. That means, let's take an example. If a baby were born today, today is Tuesday, today is day one. Add 4 weeks to today. Tuesday in 4 weeks is going to be day 29. Wednesday is going to be day 30. Thursday is going to be day 31. So very simple, if you're going to want to schedule a pidyon haben, if somebody has a baby today, all you need to do is you add 4 weeks and 2 days, no matter what time the child was born, whether it was born last night after Nacht, probably 10:30, 11, whatever Nacht is here in London, and tonight, Shkia time, at any point in time, you will have a pidyon haben on Thursday, 4 weeks from today. Pardon?
Yes, that's
a suffix. I think by suffix, we add a date. That's what we usually do by a suffix. But if it's not a suffix, so then once you're past Shkia, then become a suffix. Question is, how far past Shkia? What is a suffix? When it's not a suffix? But without that, in general, the halacha is going to be 4 weeks and 2 days. That's how we're going to work it. The Shach and the Bach have another calculation as well. They say it's not to do with the days, but rather we are working with a month. And a month in Jewish time is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. We know every month they announce the moilad in shul, the moilad will be on such and such a date, and Chazal have told us that a month, a lunar month, is 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 parts. Each part is... A part of an hour is, you take 3,600 seconds of an hour, 60 minutes times 60 seconds, divided by 1,080, and you'll be left with about 3.5 seconds. That's how much a chelik is. And it works out to somewhere between 43, 44, 45 minutes, somewhere in that region. That's 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim. Says the Bach and the Shach, if you have 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalokim, you have already passed a Jewish month, and beyond that, you will be able to do the pinyin haben. Where is the nafkamina between these two things? And the nafkamina will be in two ways, one early and one late. But let's discuss the early nafkamina first. When it comes to Shabbos, when do we do a pinyin haben on Shabbos? So as was mentioned, if you have a pinyon haben, you cannot do it on Shabbos because it looks like mekach u'memker. It looks like doing business. So you cannot do the pinyon haben on Shabbos. The question is, can you do the pinyon haben before Shabbos? Says the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Tumas Hadeshen, absolutely not. You cannot do a pinyon haben before Shabbos. Says, why don't you do the pinyon haben before Shabbos? Make the kinyon on Friday. Give the kohen the coins on Friday. And tell him to be kind of the coins on Friday, make a kinyan now. And the kinyan should only work on Shabbos. So the kinyan didn't happen on Shabbos, but it's going to be completed on Shabbos. And then by completing the kinyan on Shabbos, what's going to happen is the baby's going to be poida nivda on Shabbos. And it's day 31. Let's do it on the day that it's supposed to be. So Tumas Hadeshen says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because he says, number one, what are you going to do about the Suda? A very interesting kind of that he has. He says, what do you do about the Suda? Well, you can make the Suda on Friday. On Friday, it's not yet time to be part of the child. It's not yet day 31. So you're going to tell me, you're going to do it on Shabbos? On Shabbos, I didn't do anything. I did the whole Kinyan yesterday. So it says, you have a problem. We mentioned the second problem soon when we get to that, but this is the first problem, one of the problems that he mentioned in Trumas Hadeshen, and therefore they say, when you have a boy that was born on a Thursday, and therefore the pinyon haben will be 4 weeks later on a Shabbos. When do you make the pinyon haben? Motzei Shabbos. Yep. However, pardon?
If Shabbos is Shabbos, then the celebration is the fact that it becomes a nifte on Shabbos. So why should you make it on Shabbos?
So he says because it's missing in the pesume mitzvah of the, because there's nothing that's happened. You're just sitting down and say, there's a pinyon haben. Really? Where? It happened yesterday. So it's interesting. Be'etzim, you're right. Mitzad Asvara, I can understand that they should make a pidyon on Shabbos. The mitzvah was nigma on Shabbos. But he says, because nobody sees, so you don't have a pirsum ha-mitzvah with this Suda's mitzvah that you're doing. Yes, you can tell people there was a pidyon aben, but nobody saw a pidyon aben. So there...
So it's Friday.
Pardon?
No one sees a bar mitzvah either.
Bar mitzvah wants that to see. You know, people say, I asked my son, what does it feel like to be bar mitzvah? I don't know, it's the same as yesterday. You know, it's just one day further.
Yeah, besides the Suda, you've got a problem. When are you going to make the bracha?
Okay, so we'll get to the bracha soon. We'll get to the bracha in a minute. We're going to get to the bracha. That's the second time that the Trumas Hadeshen. I want to just work it out slowly, okay? So the Shach says, and the Bach also, there could be an occasion where you could actually do the Pidyon HaBen on Friday. How so? Let's say the baby was born Thursday night. Sorry, not Thursday night. The baby would have to be born Wednesday night after Nacht. Yeah? After Shkia, because there's already a Suffolk Wednesday, Thursday, after Nacht. Yeah? And if you want to make it even easier, let's call it a Wednesday in the winter. So Nacht's already 5 o'clock in the evening. So now you want to add, if you have 5 o'clock in the evening on a Wednesday evening, or 6, 7, whatever you want to call it, 6 o'clock, so then you count 29 days in full 29 times 24 hours would get you to Thursday night 4 weeks later at 6 o'clock. That would be 29 full days. Then you need to add another 12 hours, gets you to Friday morning, 6 a.m. Add another 793 chalokin, gets you to Friday morning, 6:45 a.m. After Friday morning, 6:45, it is already after 29 and a half days and 793 chalokin. So therefore, the Bach and the Shach say, if you've already passed that amount of time, you do the Pinyin HaBen when? Friday. Why are you waiting to Sunday to do the Pinyin HaBen on Tomotze Shabbos? And you're telling me I can't do the Pinyin HaBen on Shabbos. And you're telling me Friday is only day 30. That's only if you're going to count the days like you're counting, as we said before, for Vestas. But if you're going to count the days as in 29 and a half days and 793 Chalokim, you will have already waited out a month, and you've already waited out a month in Halacha. You can do the Pinyin HaBen on Friday. That's what the Shach and the Bach passed. Lehalocha, we are machmir in both directions. That means, you ask most, when, if anybody's ever been, I'm sure most people have been to Pinyin HaBen, when have you ever been to Pinyin HaBen? It's always going to be when? In the afternoon. Why do we always do a Pinyin HaBen in the afternoon? We always do a Pinyin HaBen in the afternoon to ensure that we are covering all our bases. Because now it works in the other direction also. That means, the Bach and the Shach could be a Kula, but they could be a Chumra also. The Bach and the Shach, let's say, for example, a baby was born the other way around. You have a child that was born, again, let's say today. Today's Tuesday. So what time is Shkia here in London?
25 past 9.
25 past 9. You have a baby born 9 p.m. tonight. Okay? If you want to have a baby born 9 p.m. tonight, that's still Tuesday. And you want to go ahead and you want to say that we're going to make a Pidyon HaBen in on day 31. Day 31. Yeah? So day 31, we said, would be Thursday in 4 weeks' time. Thursday in 4 weeks' time really starts when? Wednesday night. Can I do a Pidyon HaBen on Wednesday night because it's already day 31? According to the Magen Avraham, absolutely. Baby was born on Tuesday, that's day 1. Count 4 weeks next, 4 weeks Tuesday is going to be day 29. Wednesday is day 30. Wednesday after Nacht is day 31. You have 31 days. But according to the Bach and the Shach, you're going to have an issue the other way around. Because if you're going to try to count now 29 days and 12 hours and 793 chalokim, so let's work it again. If the baby was born 9 p.m. on Tuesday, 29 full days finish when? On Wednesday in 4 weeks at 9 p.m. Then you need to add another 12 hours, which gives you Thursday morning 9 a.m. And another 44 or 45 minutes will mean, according to the Bach and the Shach, the earliest time to do a Pidyon HaBen on this child will be Thursday morning 9:45 a.m. You can't do a Pidyon HaBen on Wednesday night. Because if you do a Pidyon HaBen on Wednesday night, according to the Bach and the Shach, you've not passed a month yet. Yeah? So it can work one way to make it earlier, as we spoke about by Shabbos, but you could also make it later, which is why if you look around, most Pidyon HaBen you will find are on in the afternoon, because if it was Thursday afternoon, no matter how late the child was born, you'll always cover yourself, and you'll be able to be yotze both the day of the Magen Avraham, and you yotze both the day of the Shach. Can you be soimech on one over the other? So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the Shaila, what happens? We made a mistake with scheduling, and we scheduled it on day 30 instead of day 31. Says Rav Moshe, no problem. Wait a little bit. They schedule it late in the afternoon. If you wait another half an hour, give the people the food first, I guess, and wait till afterwards, then you wait until Nacht, and you make it after Nacht. And then you can be soimech on the Magen Avraham that it's Nacht, even though you don't have the Bach and the Shach. So, okay, we can work with one and not the other. However, so I called up the family and I said to them, so here I have a kula. So I called up a rabbi and he says, well, yeah, you can try to use this kula. Call them up, find out what time the baby was born. The baby was born in the afternoon. So now we don't have the Mogen Avraham, and we don't have the Shach and the Mach either. L'chol ha'des, we're on day 30 and not day 31. So here comes the next shtickle. Can you be poide a child early? And this is the next machlokes. So, in Shulchan Aruch, he speaks about it, in Yeridah, Simon Shin Hei, Sif Yud Gimel, they speak about being poide a child early. So I'm going to be running out of time here, I'm going to have to start picking up on speed, or not saying everything inside. Misha Potter Benoit, this is really from the Gemara Nachman Tess over there. Also, somebody who's poyed his child Besok Shloshim Yoim, if he says Me Achsho, it doesn't work, but if he says Le'acha Shloshim Yoim, then it does work. Okay, so some say you can go ahead and you can be poyed a child in advance. You know you're going away, you're going on a cruise or something, and you won't be able to poyed the child, there's not going to be a coin around. You poyed the child on day 15, you give the coin the money, you say hold on to this money till after day 31, best. Hold on to it, and I'm making a coin, a kriyum, a pina ben now, al das, to go ahead and to be poyed of the child after shloshim yoim. That works. Yeah? However, even if that works, we're going to come back to the taina which Rabbi Yanki said before, which is, okay, but what are you going to do about the bracha? What can you do about the bracha? And here we come back to the Trumas Hadeshim, because the Trumas Hadeshim not only said that we have an issue with the Sudas Mitzvah, how are you going to go about the Sudas Mitzvah, but you also have an issue of how are you going to go about the Bracha. How are you going to go about making the Bracha? You cannot make the Bracha on day 29. Yeah? So we see over here before the Trumas Hadeshim says, even if we hold that you can make a Pidyon HaBen early, even if you're going to go with these days over here that you're making a pinyan ben today for tomorrow, you cannot make the bracha. The Horaya, he says, how are you going to be poyed a child on Shabbos? And if it will be possible to be poyed a child on Friday and say the bracha then and to make the Suda either on the next day or on this day, you should go ahead and why should we wait till Motzei Shabbos, which is day 32, to be poyed a child? Be poyed a child in advance on Friday that it should be chal on Shabbos. And then you have a pinyan HaBen that happens on Shabbos, and you've done it in time. So we saw before the Trumas Hadeshim says you can't make a bracha. So we're very stuck. I'm not exactly sure I got out of this. There are days that brought in the pinyan HaBen Kilchosoi that says the Achok and Mari Bruno brings Chok and he says he brings Araya from Ner Chanukah. In the same way, on Friday afternoon, by Ner Chanukah, you can light after plag, even though the mitzvah only happens when? Much, much later, at night. So too, you can make the bracha, according to these days, you can make the bracha pinyan HaBen, even though the mitzvah is going to happen only tomorrow. So there are days that say you can make a bracha. I spoke to one of the senior dayanim in the UK. Well, I guess we'll leave out his name for now, but we spoke to one of the senior dayanim who said to me, okay, you're in a pickle over here, you can go ahead and you can be makel. And so we allowed them to go ahead with the pinyan HaBen. As I said, I was very much in a bind because it was a day or two away. I couldn't cancel it. I had instigated it. They'd already gotten the kayin and they'd gotten the food and then invited 100 people. So we had the pinyan HaBen. Baruch Hashem, the pinyan HaBen went over. Okay. And then I learned something new. You always learn new things in Rabbonus as you go through it. And one of the new things that I learned then at the time is don't trust other people's assessment of who's a good coin or not a good coin. They said, can I bring a coin? Yes, absolutely. Bring your own coin. If you want to, we have a good friend who's a coin. Can we get him to be a... Yes, no problem. Anyway, the friend was poida. They had no idea what to do. We had to translate it. We had to it wasn't the best thing, but we did it. I'm in shul the next day, and a fellow walks over and he says to me, Rabbi, I don't know if you know. I says, I don't know anything. You know, I just, you know, maybe a bit of halacha and even that. Kulahai v'ulai. Yeah? He says, well, I don't want to spoil your party. No, the kohen was a kohen, but your kohen was intermarried. Yeah? True story. This is, you know, as I said, you know, all the things that could go wrong, went wrong. And it's the same family. I couldn't believe it. You know, we messed up the date. Now they've given me a kohen, and the kohen is intermarried. The shaila was, now what do we do? A kohen who is intermarried, what's the halacha? Huh? No, he's not a cholo. His children will be chalalim, but a kohen who gets married is never nischalal. A kohen umar machal ain't mischalal, right? You know the Gemara in the beginning of Makkos. A kohen who marries somebody who he's not allowed to marry, the halacha is at the moment he doesn't have the stringencies of kohuna, he doesn't get the privileges of kohuna. However, pardon? Until he separates. Okay, I'm not going to get this guy to separate. And it was yesterday that they did the opinion of men, and they didn't tell me. So now it's them. I'm afraid I definitely won't be able to get them to separate, you know? I've had people call me up sometimes in shul, and they say, Rabbi, and I'm a Kohen, but I'm married to a Grusha. I say, yeah, what do you want me to do about it? They said, no, we wanted to join your shul, and any stringencies. I said, yeah, you can have Kohen. These are usually people that don't come to Dami that early, but I'll take that. No problem, you know? That's not an issue for them. But I'm not going to get this fellow to get rid of his wife. Madi al das Rabim to get rid of it, definitely not happening. And it's been already. So now the shaila is, do you have to do the pinyin aben again? Do you not have to do the pinyin aben again? And if you're going to do it again, by the way, can you make a bracha, can you not make a bracha? Because maybe, you know, what's the standing of this kohen? What's the standing of this kohen? What's going to be the halacha over here? It's very interesting. So I looked it up recently. I spoke to someone, they said, yes, you have to go ahead and you have to do the pinyin aben again, and you should do it with a bracha, which is also pretty good, because the pinyin aben, the first one, A, was done on day 30, and was done without a kohen, so it was really a mess and a half. Yeah. However, it's interesting, so I looked it up, and the problem that I had was as follows. A kohen, by the way, a kohen who is married to a woman who's also to him, remains a kohen. Okay? If a kohen marries a grusha, is he allowed into Beis HaKvaros? Absolutely not. No, he's not allowed to base a chorus. The fact that he did one avera doesn't get rid of his status of kehuna. But the Shulchan Aruch, or there's a machlokes who showed him in Hilchos Nesiyos Kapayim, the Gemara in Mechoras says enough memhei on the base. It says a kohen who was married to a woman, her also loy, nashim asuras loy, is possible to do the avoda. That's what we say. What about other things? We know now that it's possible to do the avodah. So there's machloikis rishonim, but we paskin that legabe nisiyas kapayim, legabe doing duchening, and then Maria Sad adds in also legabe matnus kehuna, a kohen that is married to a woman that is also to him is not allowed to do these things. However, the question becomes the following. When you speak about a kohen not being allowed to do anything that a kohen can do, so he loses his kohen privileges, not to be called up first to the Torah, all the other privileges that go with it, is that any woman that's osur, or is that only a woman that's osur to a kohen specifically? So if you look in halacha, simen kuf chav ches, seif mem aleph in Arachayim, my Hilchos Nesiyos Kapayim, the halacha is, it is specifically talking about a woman that is also to a kohen and not to Yisrael. But if you have a woman that's also to a kohen and to Yisrael, the point over here is that if a kohen goes and he marries a woman that is also to a kohen, he's showing that he has no appreciation for being a kohen. So then we say you lose all your rights as a kohen. But if he marries a woman that's not only also to a kohen, but also to the entire Klal Yisrael, then he's not showing any rebellion against kehuna per se. Maybe rebellion in his Yiddishkeit, but not rebellion against kehuna. So what's the halacha? I'm sorry, I have 2 minutes. I need to finish this. You can ask me the question afterwards. What's the halacha about a woman who's not Jewish? The etzem halacha is a non-Jewish woman is osur to everybody. So I'll get to Zayin in a minute, right? So the question, a non-Jewish woman is osur to everybody. So is there a special halacha about that or not? So it's interesting. The Chalkas Mechaykik and the Beis Shmuel speak about it. And if you look in Eben Ezer, Simon Vav Siv Ches, it speaks about the psule akihuna. Ezo yizoyna. What's the psule of a zoyna? Because the kohen is not allowed to marry four women. Isha grusha, halala, zoyna. Isha, no, amona, no. Isha, zoyna, no, zoyna, zoyna, halala, isha, grusha, isha, that's only three.
Grusha, yeah.
Yeah, three, sorry,
grusha,
not four.
Grusha,
me, isha. Grusha, me, isha, right. Ezo yizoyna, says the Shulchan Aruch, Eben Ezer, Simen Vav, Sivches, what's a zoyna? Kol she'en a bas Yisrael, and not a bas Yisrael, or a bas Yisrael, she'niv elis ha'odom she'yasur aloi. Or a bas Yisrael that married somebody, or was together with somebody that she wasn't allowed to be together with. That is how it's defined in the Shulchan Aruch. The Chelkas Machoikis is, interestingly enough, why do you say Ein Abbas Yisrael? That's the same thing as a Giyoris on Meshucheres. That's not Abbas Yisrael. The Chelkas Machoikis does not entertain B'chalal Ahavamina that when the Shulchan Aruch says She'ein Abbas Yisrael, we're talking about a Shiksa. Who am I a Shiksas? That for sure not. Now the Zoyna that we're talking about over here is either a Giyoris, a woman who became a Giyoris after the age of 3, or a shifka that was redeemed after the age of 3, then the halacha is going to be those women are going to be considered Eina Bas Yisrael and Mibeged Zoyna. The Beis Shmuel says, what do you mean? It's not only talking about Jewish women. Eina Bas Yisrael means Kip Shuta Kemashmai, a woman who is not Jewish. As I stated in Beis Shmuel. And if you're going to say a woman is not Jewish, which makes it interesting, and there's another halachic nafkamina, but we've gone past 9 o'clock, so I don't want to, you know, you can stay afterwards if you really want to hear it. But the bottom line is, when you have a woman, a man who is married to a non-Jewish woman, a kohen is over two problems. Number one, we have a boy laramis kanoim poigimboy, which we know in Paskin Aloch HaLamayitzah today. But on top of that, of a man who marries a non-Jewish woman, a kohen who marries a non-Jewish woman, is also over the Isser of Zayna. As I stated before, Shoshon Och, and in Beis Shmuel. And therefore, since this man was married to a Zayna, therefore, he loses his kohen privileges, and according to Ari Asad, that means all matnas kahuna as well, and therefore it means you cannot be poyda your child with such a kohen, in which case, since the pidyon was on day 30, and you did it with a kohen who was married to Zoyna, and therefore he was not allowed to do it, we did the pidyon again another one or two nights later in their house, quietly. This is the second time they've had something quietly done. You know, we did one in big, and then we did a small one that was in earnest. Yeah, so they had the pinnacle quietly. I brought along a kohen that I chose this time that I knew was okay, that I knew what he was doing, would be able to explain everything. And Baruch Hashem, you see, you know, when you think nothing can go wrong, that's the worst thing to think. Always think, you know, things could go wrong, and be vigilant in halacha. Have a good day.